Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, February 29th. Seeking People of Action in Midland. Midland West Rotary Club, to host First Community Awards in May, asks for public nominations. The story was written by B. K. Richter. The Midland West Rotary Club is hosting its first-ever Community Awards Dinner and seeking community nominations for the event. The People of Action Awards Dinner is slated for May 7th at the Bush Convention Center. As part of that effort, the club is currently seeking nominations from the community for people who should be recognized for their efforts. Awards will be given for the following categories: promoting peace, support of education, community health and welfare, water resources and management, economic development, maternal and child health, and stewardship of resources. Quote, "This is the first time that we have hosted an event like this," said Midland West Rotary Club coordinator Stephen Falela. Continuing the quote, "And that is part of the reason that we are searching for nominations from the community," end quote. Falela said to nominate community members, a submission on the Google form at tinyurl.com/3PYSWK4T or an email message will work. Quote, "Honorees will receive an actual award along with a ticket to the ceremony," Phil Adler told the Reporter Telegram during a phone interview on Tuesday. The Rotary wants these awards to be impactful and to become an annual staple in our community, a press release from the organization read. Midlanders making a mark deserve to be honored, and this is what Rotary is looking to make happen, end quote. There are 7 awards, which Falela explained, tied directly into the organization. The first award category is promoting peace. Falela explained the award is for those who have been active in community engagement, advocate for justice and equality, contribute to community building, show an innovative approach to peace promotion, and are known for having exceptional resolution skills, end quote. The second award category is supporting education. Quote, "Candidates for this award should be known for implementing initiatives that strengthen basic education and literacy and advancements in providing educational opportunities. Also, we seek those promoting access to the highest quality of education and collaborative efforts to enhance educational outcomes," the press release read. Phil Laidler described this award as consisting of teachers and different organizations that support education. Quote, "This could be a literacy program or even a tutoring program," he said. "We will select one of these teachers or programs that is doing an amazing job," end quote. Villela added, "The Midland West Rotary Club carries a heavy emphasis on education. Quote, we give scholarships to kids at Midland College," he said. The third award category is community health and welfare. The category is described as promoting healthy outcomes, sustainable and effective healthcare interventions, and collaborative efforts to address health challenges. Candidates within this category should be known for their innovation, significant contributions to increasing accessibility to treatment, and being involved in disease prevention initiatives. Quote, "This award is any program that is improving public health with Midland," Falela explained, For example, like Pink the Basin, a program that fundraises for mammograms all over the Permian Basin, end quote. The fourth award category is Water Resources and Management. This award is described as going to innovators of water stewardship. Quote, those responsible for the implementation of sustainable water supply solutions and the advancement of sanitation infrastructure and practices, the press release read. Villela mentioned that this award is extremely important because of the low amounts of water resources within the region. Quote, we know different companies that are working towards that, he said. We want to extend it, meaning the award, to oil companies that are reusing produced water, end quote. The fifth award category is economic development. Quote, this award is pretty clear-cut, said Villela. We want to see how local community members are helping our workforce. For example, how are they trying to build industry? We are inviting people to tell us what they have done to improve our workforce or our economy, end quote. The award is for candidates who have implemented initiatives fostering local entrepreneurship, those with innovative approaches to address economic challenges within the community, those who advocate for sustainable economic practices and inclusivity, those who have demonstrated leadership in promoting a resilient and thriving local economy. The sixth award category is maternal and child health. Philela said that locally, this award translates to those providing resources to women and children within the Permian Basin. Quote, an example would be CASA of West Texas, court-appointed special advocates, or even different OBGYNs within the community, he said. A description of the award states, those who have implemented programs improving maternal health care access, advancements in child health care, well-being, and nutrition, innovative approaches to addressing maternal and child health challenges, advocated for prenatal and postnatal care, vaccination and nutrition, and been active in the promotion of education and awareness initiatives on maternal and child health. The last award category is the stewardship of resources. Quote, this award is about utilizing the resources that are already here, Villela said. We have an abundance of oil and gas here, but everything else is a scarce resource. The award description reads, those who have been responsible for advancements in conservation efforts and waste reduction, those responsible for innovative approaches to address environmental challenges, those who have had a positive impact on promoting efficient and prudent use of resources, those who have advocated for sustainable and responsible resource utilization, and those involved in collaborative efforts to protect and preserve local resources. The Midland West Rotary Club currently meets weekly in the Rotary Community Room of the June and Frank Cowden Jr. Dining Hall at Midland College from 11:45 a.m. until 1 p.m. every Tuesday. Two primary fundraising projects are held each year, the Fall Vacation Getaway Giveaway and the Spring Shoot for the Future Clay Shoot. Midland economic growth to continue through 2028. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Economic health looks positive for the U.S., Texas, and the Midland area, according to a recent Perryman economic forecast through 2028. Economist Ray Perryman, president and chief executive officer of the Perryman Group, said in his forecast, Midland will continue to lead Texas metropolitan areas. The Perryman Group projects the Midland area will see about 14,200 wage and salary jobs added by 2028 for an annual rate of increase of 2.1%. Quote, "Our latest projections indicate that the Austin, Round Rock, Georgetown metropolitan statistical areas will likely see job growth over the next 5 years at a pace roughly comparable to Midland," he told the Reporter-Telegram by email. "The Midland area is expected to outpace the other urban centers." He added that all major industry groups in the Midland area will see employment gains through 2028. "The largest number of net new jobs will likely be in mining, primarily oil and gas, as well as professional and business services and the accommodation and food services industry. Oil and gas industries and other mining operations are forecast to contribute almost a quarter of the overall gains, and together, the three industry groups will comprise about half of the total increase." Quote, "Significant numbers of new workers are also expected in the retail, trade, health, and social services and wholesale trade segments," Perryman wrote. "The U.S. economy has shown remarkable resilience, continuing to expand in spite of major challenges," Perryman noted. "One economic boost he sees could come from the Federal Reserve, which should be able to reduce target interest in the months to come, providing a boost to a number of industries, from housing to banking." Still, Perryman cautioned the economic path will be somewhat uneven. "The biggest risk, as he sees it, is a major escalation in the war in the Middle East, Russia-Ukraine, or one of the other hot spots. Barring such a shock to the global economy, prospects for expansion are good. There are challenges with regard to commercial real estate loans, but they should be manageable," he wrote in the forecast. Output, real gross product in the U.S., is expected to grow at a 2.6% annual pace, reaching a level of $23.3 trillion in 2028. Some 13.9 million net new jobs are forecast to be added, bringing total 2028 employment to 170 million. The Texas economy continues to perform better than other areas, adding jobs month after month, Perryman noted in the forecast. Quote, "The dynamic Texas economy is generating opportunities for individuals and businesses alike," he said in the forecast. "The state is not immune to the national situation, and our largest export sector, oil and gas, is highly sensitive to global demand. Even so, Texas is well positioned for the future with an expanding workforce due to both our demographic situation and by attracting in-migration from other states," end quote. An estimated 1.6 million net new wage and salary jobs are expected for the Texas economy by 2028, a 2.1% annual rate of expansion during the period. Flutter your taste buds. Savor the bold flavors and unique twists on classic wings at Midland's Fat Birds. The story and photos by Brandy Montpremier for the Reporter-Telegram. As a self-proclaimed chicken wing connoisseur, I had Fat Bird's Wing Bar on my radar for a while. When it was time to choose my next culinary adventure, I eagerly decided to visit. To prepare, I donned my best flannel and pants with a roomy waist, anticipating the need for extra space given the unique flavors I had read about in reviews. Upon arrival, I joined the line of patrons in the back of the restaurant and used the wait line to absorb the atmosphere. Music filled the room, and the bass reverberated throughout. The modern industrial decor included flat screens displaying ESPN on the right wall and an episode of Club Shay Shay with comedian Cat Williams above the bar. Small black lights hung like raindrops from the ceiling above the matching tabletops. Eyeing a tall table with high-backed bar stools, I made a mental note to sit there. The line moved swiftly. At the counter, I requested a table for one. "Oh, you want to eat here?" the cashier said, pointing to a stack of menus. "Order here, choose your seat, and we'll bring your food to you." With that, she briefly disappeared. The menu boasted intriguing options like truffalo, buffalo sauce with truffle oil, satay peanut, peanut butter combined with lemongrass, ginger, and coconut milk, and Mexicali, wings with West Coast sauce, queso fresco, and cilantro. For traditionalists, options included garlic parmesan, buffalo, and honey barbecue. The menu also featured chicken sandwiches, wraps, and sides like garlic noodles, pot stickers, and green bean fries with ranch. The fat fries section tempted with choices such as sweet potato, buffalo chicken, and sweet chili, garnished with a chili and ranch drizzle, fresh jalapenos, and cilantro. I ordered 12 traditional wings for $19, allowing 3 flavors, Mexicali, truffalo, and garlic parmesan. Opting for garlic noodles at $6 based on strong online reviews, I was assigned a number to display on the table while awaiting my order. New diners should note the hybrid service style. Food is served to you with additional self-service elements. Drinks are self-serve with the provided red cup, and napkin dispensers are available at the bar. Within 5 minutes, my wings arrived, an olfactory delight, especially the truffalo sauce. The Mexicali wings beckoned with their enticing presentation, while the garlic parm was covered generously in parmesan, paired with ranch and blue cheese dips. Moments later, the garlic noodles appeared, their scent equally tempting. After taking photos, I was ready to indulge. The garlicky albura soba-style noodles with no broth were delightful, with a pleasant chewiness and zesty green onions for contrast. I started with the slightly battered garlic parm wings, remarkably crunchy, though lacking sauce, the parmesan added savory notes. The truffalo wings struck a balance of heat and rich truffle notes, with the sauce lending moisture to the crispy wings. Lastly, the Mexicali wings, garnished tastefully with sauce, cilantro, and queso fresco, were a highlight. Their exceptional crunch catered to my preference for well-done wings. My journey at Fatbird's Wing Bar was a testament to the joy of novel flavors. I'm excited to continue exploring in search of the perfect wing.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, February 29th, 2024. Entertainment. 3 Things to Do in Midland, February 29th to March 2nd, by B.K. Richter. From an art reception celebrating French modern art to an open BMX practice at a local track to a local book sale helping the homeless, here's 3 things to do in Midland. Art Talk. The Baker Shore Fine Art Gallery will be hosting an opening reception of its Joie de Vivre art exhibit from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Thursday, Cocktails will be part of the event. The gallery is located at 200 Spring Park Drive, Suite 105 in Midland. A gallery talk will be offered at 6:30 p.m. According to the gallery, Joie de Vivre, or the Joy of Life, is a celebration of French modern art from Impressionism to post-war, featuring French artists as well as expatriates who lived and painted in France. These artists include William Samuel Horton, Jean-Baptiste, Armand Guillaumin, François Aubrun, Natalia Dumitrescu, Georges Noël, Henri Moret, Jacques Germain, Edouard Villard, George Lemon, and many more. For more information about the gallery, visit BakerShoreFineArt.com. West Texas BMX Practice. West Texas BMX will hold an open practice from 6 to 10 p.m. Thursday. The location of the track is at 2101 Cuthbert in Midland. The club's mission is to provide a safe and fun environment to learn and grow in the sport of BMX. For more information, visit the club's Facebook page at facebook.com/West Texas BMX. Book sale. The Midland West Rotary sponsored Interact Club of the Young Women's Leadership Academy will be hosting a book sale Saturday between 9 a.m. and noon. YWLA is located at 1800 East Wall. All proceeds from the book sale will benefit the Field's Edge, a tiny home community for chronically homeless people in Midland.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, February 29th. Zoe Rivera Hutchison passed away Friday morning, February 23rd, with her husband and loving family holding on to her as she passed, after a hard battle fought trying to get her new liver transplant. Zoe was born February 4, 1991, the youngest of four and the only daughter. From the time she was born, she was handed a life that would be difficult due to her illness that would require a liver transplant. Zoe is survived by her husband, Shane Hutchison, her father, Armando Rivera Sr., her mother, Chelo Rivera, three brothers, Armando Rivera Jr., Jaime Rivera, Adam Rivera, niece, Lumi Rivera, and nephews, Armando Rivera III and Leonidas Rivera. The family will receive friends from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, March 1st, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Alice June Streisner, age 80, of Midland, passed away peacefully on February 22nd, at Midland Medical Lodge in Midland. Born on March 21, 1943, to Giles and Alice Earlene Luckett in Lawrence, Arizona, June leaves a legacy of love and warmth. She is survived by her devoted spouse, Paul Lee Streisner, son, Robert Worsham, and cherished grandchildren. June was preceded in death by her siblings, Giles Bud Luckett, and Trudy Teeny. A celebration of life will be held on Saturday, March 2nd at 2 p.m. at the Mount Evergreen Cemetery in Pecos. June will be finally remembered as a wonderful wife, mother, grandmother, and friend. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Carrie L. Singleton Wheeler was born in Marfa, Texas, to Viola Snowden Singleton and G.Y. Singleton on July 16, 1948. She lived most of her life in Midland, where she had many friends and her family. She was active in several churches through the years. She spent most of her time with longtime best friend Terry Lane. After she moved to San Angelo, she spoke with him every day she was able. She is preceded in death by her mother, father, and older sister, Marilyn Getz. She is survived by her twin sister, Carolyn McDonald, sister, Beth George, brothers, Wayne Lee Montgomery and G.L. Buzzy Singleton, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. Graveside services will be held Friday, March 1st at 11 a.m. at Fairview Cemetery, located at 1620 North A Street in Midland.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, February 29th. I've made no secret of my intentions. Cornyn poised to launch bid to succeed McConnell as Senate GOP leader. After years serving among the top, but not the very top, of Senate Republican leadership, Texas's senior senator has a chance at the job he has long wanted, Senate Republican leader. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell announced his plans to retire from the post Wednesday after 17 years leading his party. Cornyn hasn't formally announced that he'll run for the post, but he has frequently hinted at his desire to succeed McConnell. When asked about his plans Wednesday, Cornyn said, "I think today is about Mitch McConnell, but I've made no secret of my intentions." When asked when he thinks he would announce a run, Cornyn merely grinned. McConnell is the longest-serving Senate leader of either party in American history, leaving an indelible mark on the institution and the federal judiciary. He will finish out his term as leader this year, then serve as a rank-and-file senator until the end of his term in 2027. I know the politics within my party at this particular moment in time. I have many faults. Misunderstanding politics is not one of them, McConnell said in his speech announcing his retirement. Cornyn has been a loyal number two to McConnell's leadership. He served as Republican whip from 2013 to 2019 and has built strong ties across the conference with his fundraising prowess. Cornyn remains a close McConnell lieutenant after being term limited out of being whip. Two other senators have emerged as potential contenders for the job. The current Republican whip, Senator John Thune of South Dakota, is also a likely contender. Senate Republican Conference Chair John Barrasso of Wyoming has also hinted interest in the past. Neither said Wednesday if they would run. There'll be plenty of time to discuss succession, Thune said. Today we just want to reflect on McConnell's service and honor him for that, and then we'll go from there. Texas's junior senator Ted Cruz also held back on Wednesday when asked if he would back Cornyn should he make a bid. Oh, there'll be plenty of time to assess that those questions, he told reporters on Wednesday. In a statement, he said, "I suspect a number of my colleagues are interested in the job, and I look forward to seeing whom the conference selects as the best leader as we hopefully enter the majority this November." McConnell's succession became the talk of Washington last year after he froze on camera twice and suffered a fall that kept him out of the Capitol for nearly 6 weeks. But Cornyn has previously refused to speculate or formally position himself for the job. As you might imagine, I've been through a lot of leadership elections. and I've never seen one that's been won in the press, Cornyn said in September, and I don't think this would be any different. McConnell's control over his party has gradually fractured as Republicans shifted increasingly to the right since Donald Trump's presidency. Senator Rick Scott of Florida ran against McConnell for leadership in November 2022. The first time McConnell was challenged for the job, Cruz was a vocal backer of Scott's bid, which put him at odds with Cornyn as he criticized McConnell for failing to capture the Senate from Democratic control in that year's midterm elections. Cruz voted to oust McConnell in a closed-door conference meeting that year. Cruz again called for McConnell to step down earlier this month in response to a failed bipartisan border security and foreign aid bill that Cruz opposed. The bill was a top priority for McConnell until Trump turned on the bill. There are lots of conversations that are ongoing between all sorts of different collections of senators right now, Cruz said Wednesday. At this point, I'm going to keep my ears open and my mind open and listen to my colleagues. Cruz noted this will be the first open election for a Republican leader since he first joined the Senate in 2012. Cruz himself is not planning to run for leader. That is not the desire of my heart, Cruz said, of succeeding McConnell. I am quite happy doing what I'm doing right now. Cruz has said he would be interested in running for president again in 2028. He endorsed Trump for president this cycle. Other senators largely kept to themselves on whom they would back, some jokingly saying they would back John. But unlike Cornyn, Thune has the enthusiastic backing of his fellow home state senator, Mike Rounds. Cornyn's rise to the Senate closely reflects McConnell's. Both spent years in the top ranks of the party supporting their respective leaders. Both built strong ties across the conference by sharing their cavernous coffers. Both have focused on conservative priorities in the judiciary. One of McConnell's proudest legacies is the confirmation of hundreds of conservative judges to federal courts in Texas and around the country, including three under former President Donald Trump, to the U.S. Senate Court. Cornyn, a former Texas Supreme Court Justice and former Texas Attorney General, served on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Cornyn is also a prodigious fundraiser, sharing the spoils to help fellow Republicans in the Senate. His joint fundraising committee, the Cornyn Victory Committee, raised over $11.6 million in the 2022 cycle for other Republican candidates. He raised more money than any other Senate Republican that cycle, other than McConnell himself and Scott, who then chaired the National Republican Senatorial Committee. Including the Cornyn Victory Committee, Cornyn raised a total of over $20 million in the 2022 cycle. Cornyn also urged his fellow Republicans not to rest on their laurels in 2020, even those in supposedly safe seats. He warned that the 2018 rise of Beto O'Rourke and his razor-thin loss against Cruz should push Republicans to take all threats in the state seriously. 2018 was kind of an outlier. It was sort of a wake-up call for all of us, Cornyn said in an interview last year, and in 2020, I was on the ballot. We were all well prepared because we got that warning shot across our bow in 2018. His genteel manner and pragmatism have also secured him substantial and bipartisan legislative wins. He was instrumental in the passage of Congress's first major gun safety law in decades following the Robb Elementary shooting in Uvalde. He was a key negotiator in the CHIPS and Science Act, which brought millions in federal funding to Texas's burgeoning semiconductor industry. But Cornyn's style has at times been at odds with his fellow Republicans outside the gilded halls of the Senate. attendees booed Cornyn at his 2022 Texas Republican Party meeting over his negotiations on the gun safety legislation. His approval rating among Texas Republicans have declined since their 2020 highs, reaching 45% this month, according to the Texas Politics Project at the University of Texas at Austin. Cruz, meanwhile, polled at 78% approval among Republicans. He brushed it off at the time, telling an audience in 2022 at Austin Community College that legislating is not for ish sissies. Like McConnell, Cornyn was hesitant to back Trump, despite the former president's wide popularity among Texas Republicans. Cornyn told reporters last May that President Trump's time has passed him by, and I think that's the most important thing to me is we have a candidate who can actually win. I don't think President Trump understands that when you run in a general election, you have to appeal to voters beyond your base, Cornyn said at the time, so believing that I think we need to come up with an alternative. Cornyn eventually endorsed Trump after his primary win in New Hampshire. McConnell has not formally endorsed Trump, and nor has he spoken to the former president since he left office. McConnell was furious at Trump for his role in the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol and for ridiculing his wife, former Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao. Cornyn and Cruz were among a handful of Republican senators in the Senate as McConnell made his retirement speech. After a tearful McConnell finished his speech, he and Cornyn shook hands. 7 Brew opens Midland stand, donates $1,500 to Midland Humane Coalition. 7 Brew, the drive-through coffee concept, revolutionizing the coffee industry, made the brand's first expansion to Midland by celebrating the opening of their new coffee stand Wednesday at 2201 West Texas Avenue and donating $1,500 to the Midland Humane Coalition. We are thrilled to bring 7 Brew culture, dedication to customer service and delicious drink combinations to the Midland community, said Zach Kochman, Director of Franchises for 7 Brew Midland. At 7 Brew, we aim to cultivate kindness and joy wherever we are by serving our community and supporting organizations who do the same. Because of this, we're proud to celebrate the opening of our first Midland stand by donating to the Midland Humane Coalition. Members of the Midland Humane Coalition attended the grand opening to receive the donation from 7 Brew. On behalf of everyone at the Midland Humane Coalition, we are thankful for the generous donation from 7 Brew, said Vanessa Medina, Executive Director of the Midland Humane Coalition. Our shelter is proud to be a no-kill facility, and with this generous donation, our staff will be further equipped to help each animal find their forever home. The 7 Brew team is also preparing for a second stand opening in Midland later this spring, located at 32-3316 West Loop 250. To celebrate, 7 Brew will donate free coffee to local organizations. More than your standard coffee stand, 7 Brew offers 20,000 unique drink combinations, from the original Blondie, a caramel and vanilla brevet, to 7 Energy, smoothies, shakes, and teas. There is something for everyone at 7 Brew. 190-plus stands across the country, a news release said. City votes to pay off park, rebuild cell fire station. The Odessa City Council Tuesday agreed to pay off the balance of what the city owes on the Floyd Gwynn Park improvement project and move on from what City Manager John Beckmeyer has described as a boondoggle. In August 2019, Odessa City Council members voted to take on $93 million in debt for various capital improvement projects, with $8.5 million going toward the renovation project at Floyd Gwynn, the city's second largest developed park at 45 acres. In February 2023, when Parks and Recreation Director Steve Patton told the council that after a few delays for materials, the park was 98% complete and would come in under budget by $68,000 to $72,000. A new playground was installed along with 3 basketball and 3 volleyball courts, new pickle, tennis ball courts, and youth pavilions. However, back in November, his replacement, Max Reyes, told council members that the project still wasn't complete. On Tuesday night, Beckmeyer said he thinks some of the uncompleted work can be done by city staff, and while he wants to ask the contractors to finish the other projects, he doesn't think the city can force them to. At this point, Beckmeyer said he thinks the city should just move on, even though some of the work wasn't done in a good workmanship-like manner. It's you all's action and I'll do whatever I'm asked to do, but it's time to put a nail in this thing and say it's done, Beckmeyer said. Beckmeyer attributed a severe lack of oversight by prior staff for the manner in which it was done. Moving forward, Beckmeyer said he doesn't believe the city should pay any contractors until work is inspected and signed off on. The total amount owing on the project is about $54,000, Beckmeyer said. Also on Tuesday, the city council agreed in theory to sell 7 vacant lots on University Boulevard to Habitat for Humanity for $140,000. Mayor Javier Hoven said the city has been holding on to the lots for years, thinking university would eventually expand. It was in 1994 that we started discussing the expansion of university, and I was on that council. Okay, so trust me, there are no plans for expansion on university, Hoven said. Habitat for Humanity estimates any home built on the small lots will appraise for $170,000 to $180,000, which will be a tax boon for the city, said John Harriage, who was hired to help the city sell several city properties. The matter will come up for a formal vote March 12th. The council also voted 5-1 to sell the old fire station number 6 on Brentwood Drive to Megan Prado for $350,000. Prado has told the council her family, which opened Town and Country Drug in 1958, would like to own a building of their own to operate their business out of. She said she dreams of opening a drive-through pharmacy. OC starts concerted customer service new pop-up store. Odessa College is taking its customer service and merchandising to the next level with Wrangler Service and Wrangler Outfitters. Lindsay Bryant, executive assistant to President Gregory Williams, said Wrangler Service is the college's branded name for customer service. The college has a little more than 400 full-time employees. When you look at OC as a whole, we have 1,000 different customers, Bryant said. Depending on what your role is at OC, your customer can look different. Like for our faculty members, their customers are students. In HR, human resources, their customers may be employees. All of our customers are the community. So instead of just saying customer and keeping that so broad, we just brought it down to Wrangler Service because we want to make sure that we are exhibiting that with each person that we come in contact with. It's no different than what OC has done previously. We're just taking it to the next level. We're making it a priority. We think we already do really well with customer service, but we want to make sure that we're doing all the small things to make a big difference, Bryant said. There is a Wrangler Service Committee. Recently, they had Wrangler Service Week. We did a kickoff with Nate Saxton, the owner of this Chick-fil-A. He came to speak to our employees about customer service at Chick-fil-A. Then throughout the week, we did different types of training for our employees, how to do effective grading, how to assist parents that are trying to help their children through school, different ways you can answer a telephone, Bryant said. They talked about how OC staffers need to learn people's name and not associate them with employee ID or student ID number. They ended the week with women's basketball coach, Francois, Coach Q Bedell. He spoke to us about what his philosophy is with leadership and how team building is important within your department in order for you to give good customer service, Bryant said. OC has always been big on customer service and has a customer service committee, but they haven't always made it a priority. They want to make sure every person that walks through the campus is getting the attention they deserve, walks out with what they need, and feels that the college cares. One of the new things that we're doing now is we give out 2 Wrangler Service Awards each month. We'll do one with an employee, and then we'll do one with the department. They'll receive a plaque, and then our Wrangler Service Award employee will get a gift card, and our Wrangler Service Department will receive lunch as a team at the Grab and Go, Bryant said. Wrangler Outfitters is a pop-up store at OC with the idea of giving employees apparel they can wear at work. Proceeds will go toward student scholarships. It's all Wrangler branded. We're trying to do more high-end type things like Stanley Cups, Yeti Cups. We have cardigans, men's polo shirts, the pop-up stores. We will pop them up at different activities that we have on campus, like basketball games. James Segrest, grand opening. Then in a few weeks, we should have our regular Outfitters merchandise trailer. That's where our pop-up store will be, and we'll just take our trailer to different events as well, Bryant said. They may take it to different OC sites. I was just trying to think of different innovative ways that we could help take Odessa College as a whole to the next level. There are times when you go to different graduations and you'll see the stores at different campuses. That's where it started with graduation. We wanted our parents, families, and friends, when they come into graduation, if they forgot to get a gift or wanted to get a last-minute gift, they have the option right there in front of them to be able to grab something, Bryant said. West Texas Food Bank responds to urgent need, mobilizes support for the Panhandle. The West Texas Food Bank announced Wednesday its response to the urgent crisis unfolding in the Texas Panhandle. The food bank is mobilizing its resources to support its sister organization, the High Plains Food Bank. It is launching a water donation drive to provide essential relief to those affected by the fires, a news release said. The wildfires in the Texas Panhandle have caused widespread destruction, displacing families and threatening lives and livelihoods. In solidarity with the impacted communities, the West Texas Food Bank is taking action to alleviate some of the hardships faced by our neighbors. By collecting donations of bottled water, the food bank aims to ensure that residents in the affected areas have access to a vital resource during this challenging time. Our hearts go out to all those affected by the devastating wildfires in the Texas Panhandle, Libby Stevens, CEO of the West Texas Food Bank, said in the release. In times of crisis, it is imperative that we come together to support one another. West Texans never shy away from helping our fellow Texans, and we hope to provide some relief and assistance to those who need it most. Members of the public are invited to join the West Texas Food Bank's relief efforts by donating bottled water at any of their campuses. Odessa, 411 South Pagewood, Midland, 1601 West Cliff Drive. Alzheimer's Association presenting educational programs in La Mesa. The Alzheimer's Association West Texas chapter is presenting a series of free educational programs on Alzheimer's and dementia in La Mesa. Alzheimer's is not a normal part of aging, and these free educational programs are designed to empower community members with the right information and resources so they can take the first step toward living well with a diagnosis. Recently released county-level prevalence data showed that Dawson County, where Lamesa is located, has a 13.3% prevalence of Alzheimer's in individuals 65 and older. This is significantly higher than the state average of 11.9%, emphasizing the importance of educational programs on Alzheimer's and dementia to Lamesa residents, a news release said. As part of a training program through the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, the following programs are presented at the Medical Arts Hospital in Lamesa, Texas, throughout the month of March. 10 Warning Signs, Tuesday, March 5th, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Recognize common warning signs of Alzheimer's and learn what symptoms to look for in yourself and others. Understanding Alzheimer's and Dementia, Monday, March 18th, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Learn about the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia, stages, risk factors, and more. Healthy Living for Your Brain and Body, Tuesday, March 26th, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Join us to learn about the latest research providing insights into how to make lifestyle choices that may help you keep your brain and body healthy as you age, and use hands-on tools to help you incorporate these recommendations into a plan for healthy aging. For event questions, contact Amber Kendrick at 432-756-3316. For any other questions, contact Maria Lamas at mglamas@alz.org or 915-257-0246. First Friday Goes Hollywood. Roll out the red carpet and get ready to shine as First Friday ODTX returns with a blockbuster theme. March's spotlight falls on the iconic Hollywood mural in downtown Odessa, set to undergo a glamorous restoration later this month. Embracing the glitz and glamour of Tinseltown, First Friday ODTX invites you to join in the celebration of the magic of the silver screen. Join Odessa Arts First Friday ODTX and Downtown Odessa Incorporated from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday in downtown Odessa for a celebration of Hollywood. First Friday T-shirt giveaway. Spend $20 or more at any shop or restaurant during the event hours and show your receipt at the Odessa Arts and Downtown Odessa Incorporated booth located at Glasheen, Valles and Enderman Injury Lawyers, 511 North Lincoln Avenue, to receive a free First Friday T-shirt. Special performance from Midland Festival Ballet. Midland Festival Ballet will perform Tatiana's Lullaby from their upcoming A Midsummer Night's Dream performance on April 6th and 7th at Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center at the White Pool House, 112 East Murphy Street, at 7 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Participating businesses, Copper Key Gift, 501 North Grant Avenue, extended hours. Copper Rose Building, 415 North Grant Avenue, Lobby, UTPB Art Department displaying artwork. Vendor market at the Copper Rose featuring the Flying Pig Bakery and Confections. Sweet Sticks, Vintage Savvy Style Scents with Mrs. Jenny, Betsy's Place, Tea Shed Boutique, and Boss Queen Boutique. Courtyard, former Taco Republic space, UTPB student-made selling handmade goods. Basement, Retro Game Hall, will be open for extended hours and hosting tabletop and video game night. Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street. Visit the library from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. to celebrate Dr. Seuss' Crafting Party and Alliance of Therapy Dogs and Costumes. Flair Taverna, 2701 John Van Shepherd Parkway, live music with ZBD Band. Homemade Wines, 400 North Texas Avenue, live music. Joanne's on Fifth Flowers, 610 West 5th Street, will be open for extended hours. M. Elemental Therapeutics, 419 North Jackson Ave, 5-minute massages. McJack's General Store, 411 North Grant Avenue, will be open for extended hours and is teaming up with Big Brothers Big Sisters for a special surprise. Envy Apples, 606 West 5th Street, open extended hours. Odessa Marriott, 305 East 5th Street, Hollywood and action figure themed drink specials. Odessa College Green Space, corner of East 4th Street and North Jackson Avenue, movie in the park featuring the Super Mario Brothers movie, food trucks. Patrick Clay's Tavern, 418 North Grant, $30 tattoos at Evil Ink Tattoos. Rooster's Diner, 615 North Sam Houston Ave, drink specials. Sacrificial Needle Tattoo, 1500 North Grant Avenue. Vendor, local vendor market, live art demonstrations and $40 line, fine line tattoos and additional tattoo and piercing specials. Skaliki Ballet, 118 East 8th Street, will host a free 30-minute ballet class from 6 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Starbucks Downtown, 505 East 5th Street, will be hosting fan favorite Candace Harding for free typewriter poetry. White Pool House, 112 East Murphy Street, is teaming up with Midland Festival Ballet for two performances at 7 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Midland Festival Ballet will perform pieces from their upcoming A Midsummer Night's Dream performance on April 6th and 7th at Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. YPO Passport Bingo Card at participating locations. There will be a prize for those who visit the most locations. Pick up your card at Odessa Arts and Downtown Odessa Incorporate booth. Lineup schedule to change. First Saturday at James Segrest Stadium. Odessa College invites the community to come walk, run, or play during the first Saturday at James Segrest Stadium event Saturday, March 2nd. Enjoy kids' activities, soccer, available fitness equipment, and free live fitness classes. Light refreshments will be available. Schedule 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. free walk, open field and track. 9 a.m. Zumba. 9:30 a.m. hard dance. 10 a.m. XCO Latin by Jackie preview. 10:30 a.m. Zumba step. Please no strollers, skateboards, bikes, sunflower seeds, gum, etc. Obituaries. Beverly Mae Boots Scott. Beverly Mae Scott went to be with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on February 17th. Boots, as she was known by her family and friends, was born September 3rd, 1927, in Council Hill, Oklahoma. Upcoming service, visitation, April 13th, from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., Westminster Presbyterian Church. Harry William Lindenberg III. Harry William Lindenberg III, 76, of Odessa, died Thursday, February 22nd in Odessa. Funeral service will be held 10 a.m. February 28th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Clydell Chapman officiating. Marcelino Gregorio, 87, of Odessa, died Wednesday, February 21st in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 11 a.m. March 2nd at St. Mary's Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. James Weldon Doc Johnson left this world and went to spend eternity with his Lord and Savior on February 24th. Upcoming service March 2nd at 10 a.m. at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors. Gradeen Barham. Gradeen Barham loved beloved grandmother, mother, aunt, and friend passed away February 20th at the age of 87. A memorial service will be held at Stonegate Odessa Church on Wednesday, February 28th at 3 p.m. Afterwards, please join the family in celebrating her life at Odessa Country Club. Missing 14-year-old found, Elizabeth Warner, 14, has been safely located, a Wednesday Odessa Police Department news release said. OPD would like to thank the public for their assistance in this investigation.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.